Hey everyone, welcome to this edition of the Not So Common Podcast. I'm Pat Contra. I'm here again with Frank.
Hi, how are you doing?
Remember a few months ago, Frank, we spoke about some stuff. And I figure with some of the topics of discussion, it might be nice to get a second person. We can talk about the eclipse, we can talk about stuff going on in the world, Confederate statues, Charlottesville, we can talk about McGregor-Mayweather fight.
Oh,
but first, Frank, you used to shave, right?
I still shave every day. I have a mustache, but I shave. I have the rest of it.
That plane's loud. Have you heard of Dollar Shave Club? Sponsor Dollar Shave Club. You get a blade for a dollar to start. Go to dollarshaveclub.com/Pat. And you can get any deal there for a dollar with free shipping for the first month. You can get the executive, Frank, with six blades, with six cartridges. I might do this for you as a present, Frank. You don't know.
Okay.
So you get like four blades on there with six cartridges. You can get the 4X, which has four blades. It's kind of self-explanatory. Or you can get the Humble Twin, Frank. You're very humble, with only two blades. Inexpensive, quality shaving, low price, no commitment, cancel anytime, free shipping. Go to dollarshaveclub.com/Pat. And, check out the deals there, Frank. So, Frank, what's been going on in your world? As you step away, what's been going on?
Nothing much. You know, just working.
Just working?
Yeah, keeping track of the kid and all.
Yeah, sure. You enjoy the solar eclipse?
Yes, I was a big fan of that. I don't understand how anyone could think it was like, you know, just a non-event or, you know what I mean? Like, it was no big deal or who cares?
Who said...
I've heard that.
You knew someone that said it was no big deal or who cares?
Yeah, the stupid coach from Alabama there. He was...
That guy's just a football coach, though.
But that's what I mean. I thought it could have been a nice teaching moment for the kids. Because it's something... The last time it happened in the United... You know, in the continental U.S. was like 99 years ago. So they probably figure you're not going to... You know, you're not going to see it again.
You're not going to see it? You're going to be gone, Frank?
Probably.
Unless they come up with some sort of cybernetic technology.
Yeah, but I don't even know.
Piece you together?
Scary.
Robo-Frank walking around.
Yeah, now that's insane. You got to give the kids a chance. I had my run.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought it was pretty cool. And then they had it on some of the cable channels, NASA.
Here's the path, Frank, on the map.
Yeah.
You can see. So that's total darkness around northwest, going through the Midwest.
And it went right through St. Louis and Charleston, and then it exited. And then I heard people that had cruise tours where they were in the ocean and then went right into the path for it, which is really cool.
So just total darkness in that path.
Yeah. So I think that's pretty cool.
So for us
and
here,
it's a nice, you know, it's a natural event.
Sure.
So I thought it was pretty cool.
So for us here, though, it wasn't total darkness, obviously.
No.
Because you just saw, if you looked at the sun, though.
Right. And then I did watch it on the TV, so I got to see, like, total darkness in Oregon or wherever, some other spot. And I just thought it was kind of cool because it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And, you know, it's a natural occurring celestial event. What's wrong with that? I did see in the early 80s, I was up in Northern California and saw a lunar eclipse, which is really cool, too, because you know how the moon looks like a disc most of the time, and it's sort of whitish. Well, this was like the way, given the shadows and stuff, you could see a distinct sphere. Like it was a basketball up there.
Oh, wow.
And it was reddish.
It looked like 3D.
Yeah, it was really amazing.
Oh, here's a picture on the computer here of like what it would look like.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Let's see when the next one's going to be as I talk.
And it was funny because my ex was crashed out. And I go, come on, get up and see it. And she goes, and she was so tired and beat from the trip. She goes, I'll see it tomorrow. Which was like the funniest answer because... it was just, you know, then it wasn't going to be every day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So her response was kind of a joke. It was kind of fun.
I think it's cool. Obviously, if you're in the path where it goes total dark,
then yeah, that's really insane.
That's like,
or even if you got 80 or 90%, yeah, it would be pretty cool.
So, like, well, I think it's cool. I mean, I wasn't going to run outside and get my little pinhole.
No, well, I actually did that and was able to see it on the sheet of paper. But then I did come home and watch a little on the TV, because then you could see it really pass through, because you don't have to look at it because it's a TV thing. And it was real. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, so what? It's like a couple of an hour out of your freaking day.
The cool
thing
was all the shadows. Did you notice the shadows outside?
Yeah,
got little crescent shadows.
Yeah, it was.
That's weird, right?
Yeah, and then. There were places where people swore they could see it on the sidewalk and stuff.
Oh, yeah. People were tweeting pictures of it. Like,
yeah. Because so that was kind of neat. Yeah.
It's like alien stuff. Right?
Well,
the next lunar eclipse, it was like September 16th, there'll be a lunar eclipse. I'm not sure how much we're going to be able to see it.
If it's clear and you get a chance to see it, you should check it out, because the lunar eclipse is very cool also, especially if you have a big sort of full moon. You really see it's really cool. Really cool.
Sure.
So, yeah, that was kind of fun. In fact, I got to call people in other places I meant to talk to. And I knew two different couples that went from here. One of them went to Oregon to get into the path. And another couple I know went to Idaho.
Oh, wow.
And they had set it up like a year or 2 years ago. And we're all in on it.
Did you make a big deal out of Halley's Comet in 86?
It wasn't. Hale Bopp?
No, Hale Bopp was one of those people that killed themselves.
Yeah, but I saw that too, and I did see Hale's.
Hale's Comet was in the mid-80s.
Was very cool, and they're Hale Bopp too. Comet itself was very cool, because it was really easy to see with the naked eye in the sky. And a bunch of friends of mine and I went out and camped in the desert, so we had complete, you know, darkness, you know, no city lights or anything.
Halley's Comet was 86, every 7.
Yeah, I was out in the desert for that too.
I remember my parents took me to an observatory
for it,
but I was so young, I don't remember like what we saw. If I could, you know what I mean? Like, I was only 6, so I don't have much memory of that. So, yeah, I might be around for the next one of that. You, maybe, we'll see.
No.
Maybe last another 40 something years.
40 minutes, I'm hoping for here.
You know what the best part, though, about stuff like the solar eclipses is? It can hopefully shut up some of the flat earthers that are now out there. You know about the flat earthers, Frank? The people that really believe there's a conspiracy that really...
Idiots. No, I don't even try to discuss them anymore, because they're so stupid.
Did they exist 30, 40 years ago, or is this a new phenomenon?
No,
flat earth people.
No, they existed forever.
Oh, really? You remember the back
of the
60s?
I don't understand how you have like the shuttle and the space travel and everything, and you could see that there's spheres, because
Frank, that's a NASA. That's all CG. That's all Photoshop. That's the thing.
You know.
I just think it's funny, because without there being a, what is it, heliocentric model of the Earth, to predict a solar eclipse, you know, like that's what you need in order to predict stuff like that. You can't do that with any other method.
Well, anybody can see that the Earth is round. If you see a tall sailing ship come from the horizon, it doesn't appear all at once. You see it a little bit at a time, this mast. And you see that it's coming around a curve.
Uh-huh.
That it isn't just the whole ship appears all of a sudden.
You're talking about in the horizon.
Be if it was flat. Yeah. You would just see the whole thing.
You would see it diminish into a straight line.
Right. But you see the top of the mast, and then it comes up like it's coming up around a sphere.
Yeah, I just think it's one of those sillier things, because...
Really silly.
Unlike... I know you believe in some stuff like the Kennedy assassination.
That's the only one I've hung on to.
But even aliens, and even the 9/11 truther idiots.
Ugh.
At least, Frank, hear me out. At least there's some reasoning behind them wanting to believe something like that. They're tricking us. It's a political thing
to start. They're more into the politics than the science of what happened.
So even though I think they're lunatics, I can at least understand the reasoning for wanting to believe it. With right. this, with the flat earthers, their reasoning is just, well, it gives some sort of mind control. If they trick everyone into thinking this is a global structure instead of a flat earth. So they can't even come up with a good reason
why
they would
do it. Well, yeah. Maybe they're throwing people off the edge. And that's what, they don't want that up.
Well, they believe that the ends of the earth are literally huge ice shelves. That's what they believe. So the earth is flat, right? And then you have ice shelves. So
like the sort of north and the south pole.
Yeah.
How about east and west?
Well, I don't know.
Or
how do you calculate different flight paths?
Yeah, Conan is out there. Lemuria, wherever.
Because if there's a flat earth model, that means there's a middle, right? So if there's a middle, that would mean that in a certain sort of diameter, all the flights would be the same exact times because you're going around in a circle out of that middle. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You would have all these flight times be exactly the same based upon a certain.
How about if they flew underneath it, like the flat earth, and looked up and what's under there? Like the plumbing or whatever? Like the air ducts? I mean, come on. You're killing me.
That's where all the plants are, all the roots. You know?
You're killing me.
So maybe if you drill to the center, you would just fall through into space.
Yeah, that's great.
Hey, that's a good experiment you could try.
Right. That would have been an easy way to fly to the moon.
But how do you
need a ship? They can just drill through and fall.
But when you hear stuff like that, do you consider that just, well, failure of the education system? There's always going to be people.
It's not a failure of the education system because it's only like 1/1,000th of 1% that people that believe it. So to me, it's them. They're stupid.
Oh, okay. It's just them. Or it's people that want to believe in something. Because they'll feel more intelligent, or that they're fighting for something. It's like, oh, we're fighting for the flat earth. You know, we're gonna expose the system. I think that's what it's some of the romanticism about conspiracy.
I know, but I don't get it. Like you said, I understand almost all of them, but I don't get that one.
You don't get why Kyrie Irving believes in the flat earth.
Well, he's seeing how far people will go and what they'll believe, I think. I don't think
he's screwing with people. He's too smart.
The problem is that there's grammar school teachers around the country that are begging him to come off of it because the kids believe him more than they do the teacher because he's a basketball player.
Well, is it sort of the same lines of some schools saying that they if they have to teach evolution, they have to teach creationism alongside with it. They're trying to...
Right, that's another thing. There's no basis in science either.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Because if you go with carbon dating or the fossil record, you can't believe in that because that would mean the fossil record is made up. Carbon dating isn't real. The distances when they measure the stars and the all the light years and all that has no meaning. It would shit can everything, which is dumb.
Sure.
And I don't see how that even is that it's in conflict because you still could believe in God and then he created whatever and he kicked it off. Because somebody has to start it because if you have nothing and then you have something, there had to be some kickoff.
Yeah. And now with all the evidence, so like traditionally the Bible, the earth's like what? Like, what is
4,400 years old.
Or before when it was written. So that's like, what, 6,000 BC or something like that, roughly?
Ain't happening.
No, because now we're discovering with these big structures that they're finding, like outside of Japan, outside of India, that potentially human civilization could be a hell of a lot older than we
thought. Well, just the fossil record.
I'm talking about just human civilization
now. Is
could
older.
Could be tens of thousands of years old.
Yeah.
Like, there's more evidence coming out little by little that there could be something to this that humanity built itself up to a certain point and then was wiped out by catastrophe
or whatever.
And had to rebuild itself back up. Even just that alone.
That makes more sense because the guy figured out how old the earth was based on the age of Methuselah or something and cranked it all. No, that's what he did. He went all the way back through the generations.
And that was it. That's where he stopped.
I always thought it was funny where they said that Cain, he killed his brother and he had the mark on him. And so then when he went to some other place, they shunned him. Whoa, wait a minute.
What other place could it be, right?
Yeah, if Adam and Eve were the first people and they had two sons, where were these other people coming from?
Uh-oh, Frank.
That was a question.
Frank, don't criticize the Bible.
No, I'm not criticizing. I'm just asking your question.
No, you kid. Sunday school. Did you go to Sunday school?
Yes, and that got me. That question got me put in the back. And
because it was a reasonable question, right? It's,
and the other question was Australia when they talked about the Ark.
Oh, what did you say?
I said, what about the kangaroos? And she was like, what? I said, well, there's all the animals in Australia are completely different than everything else. So did they have them too? Or
you're
confusing the class. We'll wait for the monsignor.
I went to Catholic school. We would ask the highly technical question. Sort of like, all right, it's a mortal sin if you miss church. So if you die, you go straight to hell. No, it's a mortal sin.
If you miss church, God, I'm in arrears here.
So we're like, okay, what if you really were sick that day? So we started trying to see the loopholes to this rule, and so you can tell, like, we had
had a cart in and a litter. In there.
So we didn't have a priest teaching. We had
layman.
Not the layman. What
the nuns?
Who can give you out like a Eucharistic minister? They could give.
We
out
didn't.
That?
I didn't. That didn't was a, that was blasphemy. We didn't have that.
That was a blasphemy. We had that. It wasn't blasphemy.
No, you're tricking me now.
I forget the name of God. It's been so long. Man, Catholic school. I can go off on that.
I was lucky. I didn't go to Catholic school. My dad was sort of into it. But we were in a new parish, and they hadn't built a school until I was in second grade, and they didn't want to yank me around because I was already in school, and they didn't want to yank me out of that school and put me in another one. So I was spared Catholic school.
Yeah, I wish I was. One of the most horrifying parts of my life was leading up to the sacrament of reconciliation.
What's that?
Or penance, confession.
Oh, I didn't mind confession.
You didn't mind that?
Nah, I would lie anyway.
You lie when you're when you were 6 or 7 or 8, whenever you...
No, but I didn't do anything wrong. I was 7 years old. What was I? What did I have? A floating crap game going? I was 7. What did I do? I argued with my sister. All right.
Oh, that's a sin.
All right, but I wouldn't mind saying that. It was her fault anyway.
You got to make sure you tell a creepy priest that to his face. See, we had
no, we had the.
Okay, well, we had that too. But since our classes are so big, okay. So anyone who's not Catholic out there, Catholics are the only is the only insane, the OGs of Christianity that you have confession. So technically, unless your soul is clean, when you die, you go to hell. It's a great religion, I know. So, but they have what's called confessionals, where you kneel in church. In front of this veil, the father undoes the veil. You really can't see him, but you kind of...
Right.
And you confess your
sins. You didn't have the little room?
Well, that's what I'm getting to. So we had about 68 confessionals in this church.
Right.
But if you were unlucky based upon the count of who went where, you had to do face-to-face confessionals. Basically sitting in a room face-to-face from the priest. Keep in mind, you are like 7 and a half here, or 7 years old doing this. I was terrified.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I
terrified.
See.
The priest was like 6'5". He looked like how we thought Jesus was. He had a beard. He had longer hair. I swear to God, his name was Father Joe. I'll never forget this. And I couldn't get out a word. And the whole time I'm thinking, I'm just like, am I going to go to hell just for this? Because I can't remember. Yeah. Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. This is my first confession and these are my sins. Like, knowing all the words to say. Remembering the act of contrition?
Yeah, I didn't mind all that. And when I was a kid, I never really thought I did anything wrong anyway.
Oh, well, there you go.
Because I was young. I mean, what did I do?
You stole a comic book?
No, I never stole it. I was thinking about the one only time I really stole something. You know, my friend Bill Harlem, he's passed away, but... he's not from Harlem. His name was Harlem.
Okay.
We were working in a big mall, and we went to the vending machines one day on our break, and one of them was open. And the quarter bin was filled all the way to the top, and we looked at each other and just took it.
Oh, wow. You ever confessed that, Frank?
No, I was beyond church then. Well, I got to be like 15 what? Or 16, what? And my mom said, well, it's up to you whether to go to church, and I never went again.
Oh, see, I was
except unless it was to it was a social event, because I started to know girls from the Catholic school, and I know they would be all in church, so I would go to the certain mass where they were, and then you could wait outside and you could bump into them accidentally.
Oh, hi, Darlene.
Yeah, they were all named Kathy or Mary.
All Italian chicks?
They were Italian and Irish girls. Yeah, Irish Catholics and Italian Catholics.
I think people have to understand that in New Jersey, there's a lot of Catholics, but the vast majority are Irish Catholic or just traditional
Italian. Or Italian Catholics. They're all... Yeah, I thought that was... I was like 17 before I realized that most of the country was Protestant.
Yeah, I was the same way. I'm like, we're a minority? It's only 25% of the U.S.
Because everybody I knew was Italian Catholic, Irish Catholic, or Jewish.
Yeah.
So I thought that was the world.
That's only the little part of the Northeast.
Right.
You got outside of like three states.
And then I saw some map in some class when I was in school. I was like shocked by it.
You go to certain states, there's like no Catholics at all.
I was like, what? Really?
Wow. You're being oppressed, right?
I knew it was there was Russian Orthodox too. But they were Catholics, basically.
Kind of. Greek Orthodox.
So those were all the...
far.
Yeah.
But they're not technically Catholics.
And then the Polish girls, they were Catholics, too. So that's what I knew. I knew the ethnic people that were Catholics and then the Jewish girls. And that's what I knew. That's where I grew up. It's different everywhere.
Where are you going, Frank?
Open a door and swim.
Oh, well, yeah, but it's the planes, but that's okay.
Well, that's okay. It's part of the soundtrack.
All right. You're right. It is cool. Where are you going?
I'm opening this up.
Oh, okay. Get some airflow in here.
Get some flow in here.
So we started this conversation. We get into
it. Yeah, we went way off track.
That's all right. They'd rather listen to you than me. So what's your... We're going to get into this. What was your gut when you learned about the stuff that went on in Charlottesville in terms of the protests to remove the Robert E. Lee statue?
Okay.
The counter protests, all that.
I'm totally down on the, obviously the neo-Nazis and the skinheads. To me, that's what the World War II was about. You know, it was my dad's generation.
Sure, my grandfather.
Saving the world, basically, from those crazy nuts. And then to have young people, after, like, not evolving at all and believing that somehow, or getting back into that, or feeling that they have to be in that kind of a group to feel powerful or important. It's frightening to me, because I grew up in the 60s, where I thought things were changing and people were more accepting of differences. And then I guess in the 80s, there was a big backlash to that or whatever. But it's just to see the amount of people still into it is disturbing. And then to have a protest across the street from them of people just carrying signs and whatever, and then to have some guy run into the crowd with a car and kill people, and then have our fearless leader say that both sides are to blame. I mean, this guy makes you feel embarrassed to be an American. He is a complete clown embarrassment to me, that he doesn't get it. Every day he can come up with the worst thing to say, and he does it repeatedly. It's just amazing. I mean, unbelievable. I mean, one guy, I don't want to take credit for it, but it's fashionable to be racist now. You know, it's fashionable again.
I think LeBron James tweeted about that. He made it cool again to be
racist.
Oh,
was it him? Yeah.
Something like that. I'm sure the people said something similar.
Yeah. It's just unbelievable that he could make a statement like that. And you have his own guys running from him.
When he said there's good people on both sides, that to me was where it's... Like, people were trying to parse out, well, he really didn't mean that. He did say there's, like, good people on both sides. And it's just like,
I don't see how there could be good people on one side of that.
Yeah.
Because even if, okay, let's just say in theory, and we can get into whether people are doing this because they feel disenfranchised, yeah. whether they actually believe what they're doing. Some might be doing it because they think it's fun to be part of a group. As sick as that might sound, that might be it. But even if you're, let's just say you're not a neo-Nazi, you're not someone that's yeah. there to protest. The minute that someone next to you starts chanting awful things, wouldn't that be, okay, I'm done, I'm out.
Yeah.
That's it. Even if I thought, okay, I don't want these statues taken down, we can get to that. I don't want to be associated with these people
with
next
this
to me.
Guy. Yeah, these yeah. guys are, they've jumped the rails here. And, you know, I just think it's just disturbing that it still goes on. I guess it's maybe something that
I think you're
is
always
inherent.
Gonna have,
yeah,
you're always going to have a fringe group, yeah. right, for anything.
I guess, yes.
I think most people realize that you're living in a utopia only if you can squash out
right.
any semblance,
okay.
all semblances of racism.
But it just seems like there's more than there should be.
It's more overt. Like, yeah. something like that hasn't...
I know the internet has a hand in this because all the little isolated groups, like, let's say, in the 70s, now... are connected.
Well, yeah, I saw,
I'm not blaming the technology because it's the people that use it.
The internet makes it easier to find people with similar interests,
and no matter what it is,
whether it be bird watching, if you're right. a neo-Nazi, whatever.
Yes.
And it makes it easier to share thoughts to become a community.
Right,
that's just the bottom line. I'm not going to take credit for it, but there was a great, I think it was a comedian said. It was like if you were like a pedophile in the 80s, how did you meet other pedophiles? It was underground. It was very tough. You were isolated.
Now not so hard.
Now not so hard. But the same thing if you're a white supremacist, especially yeah. if you're not living in a traditional, quote unquote, traditional area where they would thrive, how would I meet up with another white supremacist / neo-Nazi? Yeah. Internet. All of a sudden, I'm connected with a community of people that we can gather, even do an event like that. Because
right.
you couldn't do an event like that because they weren't locals, those people at Strudel. They
came from a lot. Yeah,
other
that's
areas.
The other thing. I just think it's horrific. And whatever. I don't know.
Under the guise of let's protect a statue
yeah.
of Robert E. Lee. Another Confederate.
Yeah, because it went way beyond that.
Yes, they used that part of the movement
as a plateau springboard for their stuff. The statue thing, the only reason I'm thinking they should come down is that these guys, if you really want to get down to it, were treasonous. I know in the 60s, all they did was protest the Vietnam War and were called traitors. We didn't take up arms against the and tried to throw
and you were called
the,
and you were called traitors right,
and then here's guys that actually had an army to try to take over or separate themselves from the government or the United States, and I don't know how that's not treason.
No, it was
and
treason.
The other thing is they were fighting partly or a lot of it. They wanted to continue slavery, and I just think you have to at some point see that owning another human is wrong. I don't care what era you were born in.
Well, there's a lot to unpack from that. I will just say this. One of the biggest arguments before you get to what the Confederacy stood for, and the revisionist history was, this was states' rights. And while states' rights was a part of it, the main contingent reason for pushing states' rights was to continue slavery.
Yeah, that's the states' right they wanted.
And that's in all the articles of secession of all the states that seceded. Explicitly, this is why. So we can continue our economy, we can still enslave people. Now, you can say that, the North wasn't entirely pure in fighting the war, but they still fought it.
Right.
It doesn't matter. I don't care if you're 50% against it. They gave the same blood either way. They still died for it. You know what I mean? I don't care.
And the other guys died to defend that ideal, which you have to look at. I don't see how you could be alive now and not see that that's wrong. I'm sorry.
Well, I think there's a...
And I don't see how even a guy then... Especially if they're thinking they're Christians or whatever, how you can look at that and think it's okay to own another person. They didn't think they were people, that's why.
Well, there's a few things to remember. Very few people in the South own slaves. The rich 1% basically were the ones that owned slaves. Because any poor dirt farmer couldn't afford what they wanted to. But they're the ones that fought.
Right.
They were the ones that most
But they
fought.
Agreed with it.
Yeah, you can say they were hoodwinked. They saw it as northern.
Hoodwinked. They were no pun intended.
No, there actually
you
wasn't.
You like that one? You get it?
But there's a reason they called it. They called it the War of Northern Aggression. That makes it seem more romantic that we're not fighting for slavery. We're fighting against aggression against us. As Frank opens a beer in the background, but I think we have to be careful. And I am sensitive to the fact where my ancestors fought and died. Or fought and got wounded or just...
Right, I get it.
There is some sort of... you want to maintain the honor of thinking about them not fighting for a lost cause. But at the end of the day, you have to realize you fought on the wrong side of history. Like, you can't honestly say, I wish they won. I wish the Confederacy actually won.
No, I met people like that in South Carolina.
Oh, really? Back in the day? Well, and what would their reasoning be for... how do they think it would have
They thought it was right. They thought the North totally was oppressing them, forcing them to accept ideals they didn't want to accept. They were mad about the Civil Rights Act. They thought that...
they were mad at the Civil Rights Act in the 60s.
Yes. I'm talking about people in the
60s.
Okay. In fact, there was a guy, Cooper, that I used to call 1830 because... I used to really believe that he wished it was 1830 when none of this...
North Carolina he was from?
He was from South Carolina.
South Carolina.
And none of this happened and they were living their life the way it should be.
Antebellum South?
Right.
Just nice and slow.
So I called them 1830 and he had slaves.
Sarsaparilla
I mean,
on the
they
porch.
Were mad. They were mad about, you know... They didn't accept black people as equals at all. They just thought they
were
not.
Even in 1960s. Yeah.
This was 1969. I was a student at the University of South Carolina, and they did not accept him. In fact, one day I come back to the dorm, and no one would talk to me.
Really?
And I'm thinking, what the hell? So there was another guy in the dorm who was from New Jersey also. And I go, what's up? What happened? He goes, oh, they're giving you the silent treatment. I go, why? He goes, they saw you talking to a black guy in the quad in the square.
So this is late 60s.
And I said, oh, he asked me directions to one of the dorm or a street. So I was talking to him, and we ended up talking for a minute. So they took it out on me for that.
So before that incident, did you think something like that? You had seen no evidence of, wow, they really...
No, I thought that they were off their nut, all of them.
Before that.
Yeah.
But
I didn't believe that they would actually do something like that. Because we were all 20-year-old kids that were 18 years old. It wasn't like we were old guys. We were college students. They South Carolina didn't have a... scholarship black athlete until Alex English. Do you remember him in the pros? He went to college in the late 70s. And he was their first scholarship black athlete because he was the best basketball player and he was from South Carolina.
So they figured they had to. They had to give him a scholarship. Even though
You could go there, but you wouldn't get a scholarship. Because Lou Alcindor, he asked Wilt... when he was then, before he was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, asked Wilt, like, where you should go to school, and he said you should go where the best coach is, and that's Frank McGuire. And Frank McGuire was the coach of the University of South Carolina. So here's Lou Alcindor, an A student in school, a 7-footer, the best basketball player ever to hit college basketball player, goes there. They said, you can come, but you won't get a scholarship. And he had like about 30 schools willing to pay his entire way. He ends up going to UCLA, wins 3 titles, and the rest is history.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, Lou Alcindor became Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, one of the best basketball players of all time.
All time, yeah. Well, has all the records.
And friends of Bruce Lee.
Yeah, I mean, the guy was, and he's a real thoughtful guy.
Oh,
if you ever hear him speak,
yeah, he's great.
He is a really thoughtful, intelligent guy that kids should listen to. College kids should listen to him. I mean, he's great.
So what do you say to people that say that, okay, all these memorials, monuments that are on public grounds, they're on university grounds, they're on state grounds, court grounds, getting rid of these monuments to people that supported the Confederacy is like rewriting history. What do you say to those people?
Well, all right. I could see their side. I also heard Barkley say he doesn't care about it because he has so many other things to do. It's way down on his list.
Because he ignores it.
And he ignored it. Maybe there could be a place where they could make a memorial, or they could have it on private property, or they could make some kind of a historical memorial park.
Civil War battleground.
Or a park. And have them all there. So if you really wanted to go and there's a special place for them. Because it is part... can't ignore it. It is part of
history.
Okay,
is a memorial itself a part of history? That's the question.
Probably not.
I think that's where people are getting confused. Because a lot of these statues and memorials didn't start being put up until the early 20th century. 1920s.
Right.
You had the Daughters of the Confederacy involved with a lot of stuff. There was one in San Diego.
Yeah, not which I don't here. Get. But.
So there was a Jefferson Davis monument that became just a plaque. They put up in 1926.
It had a surfboard on it, I think, in San Diego.
Because they're going to have the Jefferson Davis like transcontinental highway. It was going to end up in San Diego. And you had a lot of people from the South move here. So when I heard that, and they took it down after the Southern struggle, I was shocked that there was a memorial to a traitorous, and he was a traitor. He was one of the only Confederate leaders that was actually punished after the Civil War. I think he did like 2 years in prison. That there was a memorial to a traitor in San Diego, California. And California was a Union state.
Yes.
So that blew my mind. That bothered me, and not for the fact that I'm going to look at it and be like, that goes against my race, because obviously it doesn't. It bothers me because my ancestor fought against that piece of shit and risked his life to fight for the Union. That alone bothers me.
Yeah.
That alone is disgraceful.
I don't get how that's relevant to San Diego.
How is it relevant anywhere in the United States?
This is what I don't get, that you have people that... even like Kaepernick, he gets heat for kneeling during the national anthem, which is a totally his right under the law and a peaceful protest. And then you have these guys that took up arms against the government, which to me is treason, and they're given a statue. That's the part I don't get, that they're not viewed that way, which they should be.
Robert E. Lee was against erecting
he made a big mistake because Virginia went with the South. If Virginia had went with the North, he would have been a Union officer.
Lincoln asked him directly to lead, and he refused.
And he said no because Virginia was and he was a Virginian.
Yeah.
That now, if Virginia reason. Had went with the North, he would have been a general in the Northern Army. I don't feel sorry for the guy, but God, did he make a bad choice?
I don't feel. I bet you he was ashamed for it years and decades later. A lot of the Confederate generals or leaders,
put it to him too, because they put the cemetery of the guys on his
Arlington,
his plantation, and they put the graves right up almost to.
But if that was his only punishment, he got off light.
But to a guy like that, that's not light. That's not light. Guys like us, we don't give a shit what we did 10 minutes ago. But guys like that...
Well, they can see this is what you born. All these dead American lives.
People in this century don't care about what they did as long as they made a profit. You know what I mean?
You think it was like that back then, Frank? Greed's been around for human history.
Not the way... people were more into pride and
you
the
think
way
so?
Things, yes. Totally.
Wow. I think...
No, I totally. Totally.
The era of the knight and the samurai.
They were totally into how it looked. Because they didn't have the quick turnaround the way that the century now offers you. You were stuck with it forever. You didn't move. You didn't have freedom of movement within a distance or class. Where now you could be a bum, and if you end up with a windfall, all of a sudden you got a new car and a place. You know what I mean? No one cares where you came from.
This is the argument, besides the fact that none of these memorials were, for the most part, erected when these guys were still alive. They happened in the 20th century during the portion of time they're trying to rewrite history.
Oh, they never could have happened when they were still alive. Why? Because there was resentment still.
Yeah.
People were still mad.
Why wouldn't they be, right? 600,000 dead and wounded Americans in 4 years.
Ugh.
Imagine that.
It's just horrific.
Imagine that. So to put up memorials of these guys, I'm not saying that they should all been strung up, but I wouldn't have minded if a few were. You know what I mean? Yeah. So people like Robert E. Lee and Jefferson Davis, Stonewall Jackson was killed during the war.
By his own guy.
By accident. That changed possibly the fate of the war. But if Lincoln decided to make examples out of a few of these guys and came down harder on the South, I wonder then if that would have prevented... They were trying to prevent resentment against the North for punishing them for the secession and for the war. So Lincoln was like, "Mals towards none, charity towards all," which is very honorable of someone to think after a horrific war, trying to, you know, mend the union.
No, that was the right thing to do. And if he hadn't been assassinated, I think the healing time would have been shorter. Because as soon as he died, the guys that took over just crushed him, just really took it out on him. And I think if Lincoln had lived, it would have been a better... Because he was a great person. And it's hard to be the president and a great person. It's hard.
During a civil war.
During any period. But he was. And if he could have lived and had another term, I think it would have got smoothed over. There wouldn't have been the kickback.
The animus.
The animus. Because... He wouldn't have been as reprisal oriented, you know what I mean?
But,
and I think when he died, they just, especially because he got killed by a guy from the South, they just took it out on him.
Yeah, during Radical Reconstruction, that didn't last a long time. It was like 12 years, 13 years, something like that.
But I think you have to remember that in those days, time is longer. Now it's short.
My point is this, though, is that if the Confederate leaders got off light, almost none of them punished, and all the generals weren't strung up after the war. They should be damn lucky that they got off easy.
They were all West Point guys.
Well, a lot of more. That's what I mean. They committed treason. They swore an oath to the Constitution.
And then they
went against it. But the fact that then you have memorials up to some of these guys all these years later, like you said, someone like Lee would be unacceptable to that. They wouldn't think that would be smart to, no, I don't want a memorial to myself. What are you memorializing? That was an awful time in U.S. history, the worst time ever.
Yeah.
You know, unless we start getting tanks and shooting at each other again with it, I don't see it getting worse. But I try to explain to people defending these statues that a lot of these were put up so far later during whether Jim Crow laws or even the 60s as sort of a backlash against the civil rights movement to show that this is what we're honoring in this point in time. We're honoring a point in history 100 years ago where the person who's now my next door neighbor was subservient at that point, literally and lawfully subservient. So it was a sign.
Well, that's the thing I have with the Confederate flag, which to me represents that whole thing, and it's the flag of the enemy. It's like putting a rising sun or a swastika. In other words, it was an enemy of the United States, and then to honor the flag is like really insane.
And that wasn't even the flag that was widely used during the Confederacy. It wasn't used throughout the Confederacy. Then it was adopted as sort of this is the Confederate sort of icon after the war.
They didn't use it in battle and stuff?
It was a battle flag, but it wasn't like every state was using it. As far as I know, you know, it wasn't like it was flying over. You know, states had their own flags, for example. But I don't know. I just think if you want to hold on to that history so much, I think you have to look at the pros and cons of wanting to be like, okay, we have a courthouse we're marching into when you have the, I think they just took down one of the Supreme Court justices that wrote the opinion on the Dred Scott case. And it was at 1855, 56. That basically said, you know, even if the slave escaped to the North, you got to return him to the South, right? And that was Dred Scott, I believe. So why would you be honoring that in this day and age? Like, why would you want to do that on public courthouse grounds? I'm just trying to get into the reasoning.
There's a statue of that guy?
There was. They just took it. I think they just moved it or took it down. So you're incredulous, right?
You got to be kidding me. I mean, even somebody from there would go, no, that's not the guy we want to look at. You know what I mean? That sure. doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, that decision, the Dred Scott decision, basically solidified slavery 4 years before the Civil War. That decision, just an awful time in human history. And I would argue that taking down statues, taking down memorials, not just this is the battle that happened, but a memorial to someone, which means you're honoring someone, to people that took up arms against
the nation. I don't understand how the how as brilliant and as whatever the founding fathers were, that they didn't see this. They didn't end it then.
I think what happened in terms of...
They couldn't hire guys? I mean...
The cotton gin sort of changed things and made that a hell of a lot more profitable. Once you had the cotton gin in the early 1800s, it made it a lot more profitable to have cotton, and it exploded. That was part of it. If that wasn't invented, that's at least I learned in high school, if the cotton gin wasn't invented, slavery might have died out on its own, just naturally, because it wasn't profitable to do it. It wasn't. There was no reason to have that sort of amount of labor for what?
Yeah, but why didn't those guys see it then and think and just write it out of the law book when they did the Constitution?
Because this, some of the founding fathers had slaves. Washington had slaves. That's what.
But why didn't they see it as wrong? Is what I mean.
Because, like you said, it was a different era. I mean, not to say it's right or wrong, but that's just the way life was. It just was.
Yeah.
You had indentured servants for hundreds
that's
of years.
That's different.
Well, when you look at some indentured servitude, it's not that far away.
But they had a light at the end of the tunnel.
Sure, sure. But there's circumstances at the time where. You know, you could walk away and go work at the Home Depot down the street. You know, you couldn't do that.
Right, I get it.
When you hear one of the things that crystallized, I guess, a moment in time for this president was for him to say to equate Robert E. Lee to George Washington because they both owned slaves. To crystallize it to that viewpoint, I thought was scary to me. It was scary because I think people missed the point. That if you're going to make that argument, you have to look at why we honor people. What is the basic reason people honor George Washington versus why they honor Robert E. Lee?
Yeah.
If you can't figure out that slavery is not any reason why you honor George Washington,
right?
That was sort of well, he happened to own slaves and unfortunate for the time, but that's what it was. With Robert E. Lee, that's a feature of the character in my estimation,
right.
Because that's what the even though if he was personally against slavery, he was fighting on the side to preserve it. So
right.
That's the major difference.
Yeah.
I don't know if you disagree or agree.
No, I agree with that. Yeah.
One set up a foundation
right.
and structure of our country.
Well,
that
that's what I'm telling you. The guy says something stupid every day. I don't understand how he can keep pumping him out. He's like.
And here you thought Reagan was going to be the end of the world in the 80s. That's going to make you look Shrek.
God, I...
You know how good you had it,
I
right?
wish he was the president.
You wish they propped up Reagan's corpse.
I mean, this is unbelievable. I cannot believe the stuff this guy says. It's just incredulous.
Well...
He's unbelievable.
Not in a good way.
No, you keep...
Did you see him, try before we move on, did you see him staring at the eclipse without the glasses squinting?
Yeah, of course. It's just unbelievable. Yeah, okay.
Fake news, Frank. It's fake news.
It's fake news. He's fake news.
All right, moving on.
Moving on.
What do you see happening in the Conor McGregor-Floyd Mayweather fight? I know we talked this before. Let's get on the record.
Okay, well, I've been watching boxing since I was like 10. And I don't see the guy standing a chance because he's not a boxer. And he's fighting a guy that's 49-0 that's never been knocked down. Well, he has one knockdown on his record in all of his fights. And that was one he went down on purpose because it was the end of the fight and his hands were broken. So he took a knee to escape whatever. And then the round... Mayweather, and then the round ended. So that's the only time he's been off of his feet in any fight.
Really, at the end of the fight, he just said, "I'm just going to rest here because I know the fight's over."
Yeah, he took a little rest, and he touched his glove on the mat,
which means
you're knocked down. He didn't even go down; he just put his fist on the mat, and that's his only knockdown in his entire career.
And that was like a standing eight count or something.
Yeah, he took an eight, and then there was a couple seconds left in the fight, and it was over. I mean, here's a guy that fights boxers who train their entire career to box, and he doesn't get hit. The other guy is not a good boxer. He throws wide. He's going to rush in. He's going to get picked apart. I have no idea about his chin. Might be good. That just means he's going to get punished more. And I just see that's what the fight's going to be. And... the 8-ounce gloves doesn't help him because he's used to four, so it's still twice as much as he's used to. And Mayweather fought almost his entire career with 8-ounce gloves. So I don't see it as a competition. I see it as an event, which most people do, I think. They want to see what could happen.
Well, yeah. It's
a big event, but it's not a fight.
Well, it's a fight.
It's a fight, but it's...
people are trying to hurt each other, throwing punches.
Yeah.
I think if McGregor has a chance, he has to clip him in the first couple of rounds and get him off his game and bum rush him because he does have a size advantage on him.
But it's a guy that's never been – he doesn't get hit by boxers.
Well, that's the point. He doesn't get hit. If McGregor could do something weird that Mayweather has to calculate he hasn't seen because he's not a traditional boxer, maybe he has a different stance
That'll take him about a round and a half.
That's what I mean.
But
if you get to round four, at that point, Mayweather can dance around him all day because it's one thing to train for a 9-minute MMA fight or maximum 15 minutes, right? So because then you have
five, and this is 36 rounds. Minutes.
This is 36 minutes, and boxing is not to say MMA is not tough in those 3 minutes. Boxing though is there's constant punching and movement.
Yeah,
you
ask someone who's never boxed or doesn't think it's tough to get in a ring, a real ring, a canvas, not a floor, and have gloves on and just shadow box with no one else in the ring with him for 3 minutes.
You're gonna be tired.
Sit and do it again and again and again, and then tell me that you're
Yeah, it's tough. Even if you have sparring partners. I can't imagine how tough it is to get into ring shape, even with sparring partners for 12 rounds. Like, how do you train to do that?
And this is a thing that's been done in boxing for years. They come up against a guy who's really skilled or tough or a Tyson or whatever, and they try to get a sparring partner that will duplicate it.
And you can't do it.
And it never happens. Because once you get in with the real guy, you're in trouble. Whether it's Muhammad Ali or Tyson or Sugar Ray Leonard, once you see their speed, their skill, their punching power, it's not like the guy you've been sparring with. That's why he's a sparring partner. And it's very tough to duplicate that.
I'm a big fan of MMA. You're a little fan. I try to get
But you MMA it. Is
different skill set.
Yes, and in its own way, it's its own thing, and it's just as real and tough.
Well, yes, of course.
It's just
specialization.
Yes, because it's just different.
Because in MMA, you have to be good at four or five things, or competent. In boxing, it's one thing you focus on and train on.
Right.
8 hours a day.
It's just different. It's not to say the guy's not a skilled MMA guy. He's the best guy. I mean, he's great.
It's
not his genre. He's out of fish out of water.
I think people don't realize, or maybe they do, it's incredibly hard to land a punch in someone's face. Even someone, like a random person.
Yeah.
And boxing is body too. But if you have someone that's actually trained in the art of deflection, the nuance
head movement,
using your shoulder, and we're not talking a lot of movements needed to avoid a punch, that the energy that you output just to keep up with someone that skilled, it's going to add up.
And the other thing is, a boxer is trained to see it coming from your shoulders. That's how they move out of the way. Just that, and
just those 2-3 inches.
Because they see it coming. They see the guy starting to move, flexing, doing whatever, and they're already...
They're trained to know that that's a punch coming.
Yeah.
It's instinctual, for the most part.
The other fight is going to be good.
The other fight, the one next week?
Canelo and Triple G. That is a war, and those guys, they don't run and hide and box. They're going to come right to the middle of this ring.
What weight class is that?
Super middle, like 160 they're going to be at, 168.
And that's for the title?
Yeah. Those guys. Now, Canelo's only loss, as good as I think he is...
Is
against Mayweather.
And Mayweather...
And the other kid hasn't lost, Golovkin.
And Canelo is a hard puncher, too.
Yes.
So the argument that Mayweather can't face a hard puncher, you got to land those punches.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
And he just made the kid miss... I mean, to the point where it's like he was trying to hit a puff of smoke. I mean, you could see he wanted to land one so bad, and he just was
How old was that? 4 years ago?
Yeah, Canelo was a raw kid then,
so you could say he could be better now. And plus,
yeah, now I think he could catch him. He's bigger, he's more skilled, and the other guy's older.
Do you think that's a big deal, though, that the fact that Mayweather is 40 years old, or is that not?
Not in this fight, but if he fights a real guy, like if he fought any of the other two guys, he might be in trouble.
As good as he is.
As good as he is. At some point in sports, I mean, if you're a writer, you're still good when you're bad.
You might get better.
But as a boxer, when you're 40, you're not as good as when you were 28. I'm sorry, you're not. You're not. You can't be.
So your prediction is you think...
I think he'll carry him and then he'll knock him out in like 7, 8, 9. In there.
What's your prediction? Round 8, knockout?
All right.
Round 8. All right. I was going to say...
6, 7?
No, I might...
Decision?
You know what? I don't know. Here's the thing. Mayweather...
You think he'll carry him for the fight?
I think... No, I don't know, because I'm not sure how much pride Mayweather has in this one versus the others. He might feel insulted that the guy is even trying, but obviously it's a big payday, so who cares? If I was getting paid $125
million,
I don't
care. But he cares about the 49-0 a lot.
Sure, but does he care about just taking a decision?
Oh, no. He's
going to just knock him out.
But he might... Decision. If he goes the distance, he's going to make the guy look silly for... A lot of the fight.
So it won't be like, oh, it's a moral victory getting there.
No, he'll pick him apart.
He'll let him stand there just
ragging. Pick him apart. And unless he has it, and if he doesn't have a chin, he's gonna go down or take a standing eight or get knocked out on his feet or not answer the bell. That would be the biggest deal.
Not answering the bell?
If McGregor doesn't answer the bell for one of the rounds, that would be...
Because he's exhausted or just...
But it would make him look not as tough.
Well,
which is what Ali did to Sonny Liston. Sonny Liston didn't answer the bell for the 8th round.
And that was it. You think that's worse than getting knocked out?
I think so.
Because you're just...
Because it looks like you quit.
No balls, no chutzpah.
You better run out there and get knocked on your ass, and then, okay, you got knocked out. But not answering the bell is... You got to really...
No mas. Right, no mas.
Well, right. And he was forever vilified for that.
Even though he was...
If Leonard had knocked him out, everybody would say, whoa, it was a great fight.
Talk about Roberto Duran.
Yeah, if Roberto Duran had gotten knocked out, everybody would have said, wow, that fight was great.
And now it's dishonored.
Right. Exactly.
It's like a samurai not coming out and getting killed. Like, you quit. It's like you'd rather get
you
killed.
You quit.
Death before dishonor.
Yeah.
Right? Same
thing. Exactly.
My prediction, Frank, I don't know. I don't know if McGregor, if Mayweather's going to take it to him. He says he's going to stand with him, but I don't think he's going to risk that. Or he might just start doing that after the 3rd or 4th round.
Yeah, I just think that at some point he's going to hit him so many times that something's going to happen.
Even if he does, even if he's not known as the hardest puncher anymore, it's just a cumulative effect of bam, bam, bam. Like,
yeah.
Take 100
Then
punches.
I think what will happen is the other guy will tackle him or kick him and get
disqualified. No, he won't do that. There's probably something in the contract saying he'll lose.
Well, a lot of times you're in the heat of the battle. your best interest, as Sidney Greenstreet said in The Maltese Falcon, in the heat of the moment, your best interests sometimes are clouded.
So you're saying Mayweather knockout round eight?
Yeah, round eight or round
I'm going to say if he goes after him, I'll say five or six rounds. But oh. I think my gut's going to tell me that he's going to lay off him, let him tire himself, and finish him in like the ninth or tenth.
Yeah, later. Yeah.
Just okay.
That makes sense to me.
Your arms are at the size yeah. now. I'm just gonna put this away.
Whatever. But it's a big event, and everybody's not gonna tell anybody what they should watch.
Maybe
or not.
But maybe though, it becomes like Rocky, where you know Apollo Creed just has to stay away from him, but he tries to finish him, and then Rocky catches him and makes it a close fight. You know, like you don't know.
Yeah, but Rocky at least was a boxer.
Oh, that's true. But puncher's chance. That's what they call this expression. You always have a puncher's chance. If you land a punch, that's all it takes is one good punch to land. Right?
But you're talking about a guy that's never been off of his feet in his entire career against boxers.
Yeah, but you know, Tyson beat Buster Douglas, and that was a.
But Buster Douglas was a boxer.
I know, but I'm just saying.
And
it was still the biggest shot.
Did you ever see the size difference between Buster Douglas?
Yes, Douglas was huge. Buster Douglas was like 5'6".
And they asked him why he trained so hard, and he was in the best shape of his life. He goes, "I was afraid of getting killed." He was afraid Tyson was going to kill him.
Well, that's good motivation. Well, plus I think his mom died too.
He was terrified of getting hurt really bad.
But did that shock you? That what happened when Buster beat Tyson in 90?
Yes,
or 91.
But it was like the same way the Super Bowl. It was 28-3, and they ended up winning. It wasn't the Cal State volleyball team beating the Patriots. It was another pro football team.
You're right.
And so, that's my reason.
So even if McGregor used to be an amateur boxer, you're not impressed.
No, because if he was a really great boxer, he would have been a boxer.
Well, it's easier to get into MMA than boxing now, just in terms of...
You know, but he could have made it through. I mean, I think I'm almost disappointed he didn't become a boxer because he's a tough kid from a shithole ghetto, which is where you want to be from. And man, he might have been really. I mean, to me, well, I just like this sport.
Well, I was saying, what if your passion is to be a mixed martial artist?
Right. I get it.
Grappling.
Right.
You know? That's like saying,
but I think if he had trained his entire life to be a boxer, he's a tough kid. I mean, look at him.
He's got the confidence. I don't think he's an act. He has the confidence.
And look at him. I mean, imagine his input into boxing.
Yeah, the next Ali.
And boxing, he's a white kid, for Christ's sake. I mean, they couldn't make that up.
What do you think about the racial components of this fight? Do you think they're uncomfortable to you?
Yes. Or? Yeah, I'm always uncomfortable with it.
Is it something to be avoided when you have a white boxer versus a black boxer?
I don't think it. To me, it doesn't matter. I'd rather just see a good fight. But the problem is they brought it up.
With the promotion and him saying
right.
dance.
And I'm not sure whether it's part of the promotion or he really believes it. Although a lot of people think he's like that because they've seen it before in MMA fights.
Oh, using the same expression.
Where he does that. And I'm not sure if it's part of his shtick or whether he thinks it.
You think Mayweather took it personally? Maybe using that as motivation?
I don't think he takes anything personally unless he thinks he's being cheated out of $4. You know what I mean? Then he looks.
What do you think about this? I mean, do you personally, obviously you're favoring Mayweather because you think he's a superior prize
boxer.
Doesn't mean you personally like Mayweather.
No, he's
kind of a jerk off too, right?
Yeah, he's been in jail for beating his girlfriend.
So
how could you root? I mean, it's almost like other thing I don't like about this fight.
Is that it's hard
I
to
can't root for either guy.
It's almost like, you know, separating the art from the artist, like a movie star or director. It's like separate the boxer from
that
the person.
Somehow is easier. I don't know why we do that all the time because no one cares.
I have a harder problem than that. Then you have an easier time, I think, doing that with
me. The actors to me are actors. They're all friggin' nuts anyway. Who knows what they're saying? I don't take them seriously off out of the screen.
Okay.
They're all crazy.
But for sports guys, though, it's hard to separate.
It's different because it's a different kind of hero. You know what I mean?
Yeah, still performing, though, but it's more...
But it's a competition. See, that's the other thing that people are saying, oh, this is entertainment. What's the difference? The difference between sports and other entertainment is that it should be also a competition. Otherwise, it's not sport. you have to find the sport itself and the competition entertaining. A movie is just entertainment, strictly.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
See what I'm saying? So that's the difference to me. It has to be competitive also for me to be entertaining. Now, I know this thing is the build up and the hype and the whole party is what it's about. It's not about the actual fight to most people.
A couple questions on the Twitter timeline here before we get out of here. Question, this is from at S Flanagan 80. Stranger Things creators want a cap number of seasons and entertainment knowing how to go out on top versus limping to the finish. So Stranger Things is, you have Netflix now, it takes place in 1983. It's sort of a cool sort of Twilight Zone-esque sci-fi Stephen King vibe to it. So I guess the creators, they know that we don't want this to go on forever. Plus, they're kids. So each season's a year. So this year's going to be 84.
I heard this is supposed to be really good.
Yeah, you should check it out.
Yeah.
But 84, the season's coming out soon, season two. But what do you think about that in entertainment, knowing that you have a set number of stories to tell versus letting it run on forever? Frank's making the money symbol. He's rubbing his fingers together.
That most people don't care if they could milk another season out of it. If you have a sitcom and it's been great for 5 years and they're willing to pay you again for the sixth year, most people will take the money.
Even if creatively there's nothing left to say.
Yes. Now, there'll be a couple people that want to go on to movies or have their own show, but the rest of the cast, that's their nadir, that's their hype. That's the best they're ever going to do. They're taking that other season and they don't care. I mean, MASH was the biggest show ever, went forever, went off the air, and they had a show called After MASH, and they got people from that show to be on it because they were going to pay them.
Well, yeah, if you're, I don't blame the actors. Actors, it's hard to find steady work. That's always, what I hear from actors is that they're always afraid this is my last job.
Yeah.
It's hard to be...
Well, I feel that way in gardening, too. No matter how many jobs I have, I always feel this is the last one I'm ever going to get.
So
it isn't true, but I always feel that way.
But don't you see then that sort of...
Yes, no,
why.
Yeah.
Hell, they did After Golden Girls. They did... B. Author left the show, but the rest of them did, like...
What were they, the Golden Palace? Oxygen tents?
No. No, it was the Golden Palace. It was like the old person's home with a young Don Cheadle as a worker there. Oh, it lasted one season, but... You don't want to think about it because that's awful compared to the other series.
Right.
You know, but that's with a lot of shows, though, right? They did that with Three's Company, had an extra season where it's just and no one cares.
And even like the movies, there'll be a great movie, they'll have a sequel, which is some of them aren't terrible. They're not terrible. But they'll go for a third or a fourth one that they've jumped the shark, but they're willing to get funding. And they're in.
It's tough. That's why it's tough. That's why you have to give Seinfeld credit. They wanted to go out on top. They offer them so much money.
I give them credit because I do not understand how you have a comedy, which is so difficult, and every show is funny.
Every
show is good.
Yeah. Because they had good writers.
I do not understand how they were able to sustain that.
This is from @atheist_forest. The state of the Great Pacific Garbage Patch and the discovery of a second patch the size of Texas.
It's just disgusting.
Your opinion's out. Okay, so there's a huge laundry nation island of garbage.
Of garbage that, like, plastic bottles and stuff.
But they say there's a second one they discovered?
Floated into with the currents, and it's almost impossible at this point to clean up. I just wish there was a way to clean it up. I don't know what to do. They have to have these boats that could scoop them up and
piece by piece and
separate. Just like a big scoop, and then use that to power the boat and just keep driving around there until it's all gone. I know that's like a fourth grader's answer to it, but I saw a show. It's just disgusting and awful.
So this was discovered in 1988, the first Pacific garbage patch.
It's just
horrible. Now there's a second one that's out there?
Yeah.
Well, is that real?
Throwing shit away.
Well, it's all the stuff off of boats, right?
No, it's everything out of everywhere. It's not just off of boats. It's too big for that.
Well, we're doing better now at garbage disposal than we used to. Just throwing it out to sea.
That's it's just horrific.
Imagine all the birds, though, that's where they hang out and fly to. And,
no, it's not garbage they can eat. It's plastic bottles.
Hang out. It's where they can
just hang
out.
Yeah, but they get caught in there and, you know, they get caught up in it and it kills fish because they eat part of the plastic. And then you have fish you're catching with chunks of plastic in it. It's the only thing I can say is it's good to be mortal.
This is from that psychedelic 2017. That could be Frank. You could be psychedelic 50 or something. Would love it if you could have Frank back on and discuss with him Donald Trump presidency 6 months in. What do you think, Frank?
I'm embarrassed to be an American. That's what I think. Embarrassed. Embarrassed to be an American. The guy is a total joke.
Embarrassed that he represents us or embarrassed that we can let him be president?
Both. That we voted for him and look at him. And all the things that I thought about him are true. He does not know how to deal with foreign dignitaries at all. He just looks at them as presidents of his subsidiary in France.
the best video, remember when he met with NATO and he pushed another president out of the way?
Yeah.
Because at the front he was like,
like he's just a guy that works for him. He's just a guy.
I couldn't believe that. It was obviously a smaller country. You can't just push a president out of the way.
The world at all. It's all business to him, which maybe works if you're a CEO, but there's something else to being a president. There's diplomacy. You got your hand on the button for, I don't even want to think about it.
Well, no, the generals would veto him if he did something totally stupid.
Okay.
They've already come out against him. They came out. They had a harsher criticism of the Charlottesville stuff after he refused to really condemn it. And the general came out and said, "This is not what we stand for as America." I'd never have seen that before in my lifetime. The military.
All right, I rest my case.
That makes you best. You should be proud to be American in that respect, though.
Well, that he's.
All right. This is from at Grant W. Are you excited the NFL season is about to start?
Not really. I'm more interested in the... I know you guys hate baseball, but I love baseball, and it's getting down to the pennant races and the playoffs, and I really don't get cranked up. I'm a Giant fan now. I'm not as big a football fan as I was. I'm a football Giant fan, and I'll watch their games and be excited. But no, I'm more interested in the end and the playoffs and baseball.
This is at 10_damage. Let's hear about any palm readings / fortunes you or Frank have had. Any funny stories? Do you believe any fortunes you've gotten? I've changed a little Ian to you. Have you ever had your fortune told or palm read?
No, astrologically. And okay. Some of this stuff actually turned out to be true about relationships in the future and what job I would have.
Really? Is he going to be a gardener?
Well, no. They said I'd be involved in water and the soil.
Okay. You got to be careful with the too vague sometimes.
Yeah.
Predictions. You're going to be involved with the earth and I could be
right, but I am. I had my hand in the ground today. The other one was about, I don't know if it was relationships or whatever. And my ex and her friends and stuff used to go to this psychic reader, and it even freaked out my sister. I mean, talked about stuff that there's no way that she could know.
Like it was too specific? It
wasn't, yeah, real specific.
It wasn't probing for answers like you see.
No, just whatever. Just... really weird stuff. I don't know if she's still alive now. This was years ago. But that's my only thing of it. I've never really had... I don't really delve in that. Because if it's fake, it's hooey. And if it's real, it's sort of scary. So either way, I'm not as interested maybe as I should be.
You're afraid if it's real and it's scary either way.
And if it's not real, I feel like I'm being made a fool of. So sure. Either way, I avoid it.
I have a feeling that there probably are. I feel I have a teeny bit of little tinge of psychic stuff going back in my lineage. But I feel there's a lot of shysters out there too.
Oh yeah, totally. But I still think it could be something that's real.
Sure.
That we haven't come up with the way to measure it.
Sure.
You know, the way that magnetic fields around the Earth are real, but we didn't really know about it until we had the thing that could see it.
Sure. At Thrifty Gamer 83, the extremism of colonial powers and empire building the U.S. is engaged into.
Well, I've as always been against that since I've been in my, since I was a kid. I mean, that's what the whole hippies and the protest movements and all was about, us mixing in other countries' politics because it benefits us. I get why we're doing it, but we really do some bad things in other people's countries.
Do you think we're technically empire building still? Or I think we're mostly out of that business by now.
I think there's a little bit of it because of the oil. And I think we're over there protecting our interests. And you cannot argue with that.
Well, we're not making money off the oil in the Middle East, though, ourselves. At least directly.
I'm not, but there's Americans that are.
No, but that's there's Chinese companies, there's Russian companies, European companies.
Right, and they're all wrong, and they're all in there doing the same bullshit.
I think that's...
And why we're in the Middle East at all, unless it's to kill bad guys. To me, what the war on terror, it's...
Well, we've been...
There's no invasion. They should be looking. They should have guys on the ground. They should have satellites. And when they see a camp, that looks like it. Good.
Well, that's what we're
Send
doing.
Them in and kill them all.
But that's what we're doing now. We're still in Afghanistan, 16 years later.
No, we don't need to be in Afghanistan. We need to go in and kill people and leave, not be with an army.
It's hard to kill people, get in and out that easily, unless you're
Well, we
there.
Could just take over Pakistan as a base.
Well, I'm not... Yeah, I don't think Pakistan's on either of our favorite country lists right now. Hey, that's the one thing Trump said I agree with. They do harbor terrorists and do awful things. I'm not.
Well, yeah, that's easy to say after they found Bin Laden there. I mean, I can do
2 miles from their West Point. Bin Laden's hanging out watching DirecTV.
The kids across the street know they're they're 4 years old and they know Pakistan's harboring terrorists.
All right, well. We'll see what happens.
Jesus,
I know it's kind of rough. I know.
And Libya and Syria,
and we give Pakistan billions of dollars just so they don't fire nukes at India. It's great. It's great. And that's what I was come down to. It's like, why are we so engaged throughout the world? Well, we're kind of the buffer because other countries may not play nice, but they can use that against us as leverage to get.
Of course,
get
and that's the way.
Money.
Yeah, and it's all a big mess.
How do you think we figure out North Korea, Frank? Is there an easy solution?
Yeah, because the guy can't do nothing. He's not big enough.
Well, they're getting...
And if he does something crazy,
so you rather
there is going to be such a clusterfuck.
But that's the thing, right? He's getting closer to an ICBM. Do you wait till he has one before attacking, or do you want
to
stop?
Well, then what
that?
Do you do? You bomb his facilities before a chance.
Well, that's
and then you just shrug, and then we could just say. We could say somebody else did it. They could say we did it, and we'll just blame the Israelis. The Israelis do it. You know what I mean? They always bomb shit before. What?
But
no, I think it was the Japanese that did it. They thought it was Rodan they were bombing.
Oh, jeez, Frank.
Rodan. No, I mean...
But I think it's tougher, though, because you have Seoul right there in South Korea, and the argument is, it's not an argument, that if we attack, they're going to blow up... Yeah, a huge chunk of South Korea, which obviously
not if we take out their stuff, and then if they move,
that's a big
hit them again and again and again until maybe we catch that stupid idiot by accident. And
so
I don't think they're big enough to cause a real problem. They could do something terrible.
They're firing missiles into the sea every other week, and they have a nuke.
Well, then if the only solution is to take out their facilities, which are limited. You have to agree to that.
I don't have the data, Frank, to know how limited
they're
the facilities are.
They're small. How many could they have? what do they got, 9,000 of them?
I'm sure the generals and the intelligence community knows more than we do about
right,
that.
And they're limited. They're limited.
I'm just interested in your thoughts on the preemptive strike versus waiting for them, where it could be too late. They already fired a missile at Japan. Now we know there's going to be something awful happen before we retaliate.
Right. So maybe you could take out a couple of strategic places and shrug when they say something, and they go, "What? What?"
Either way, that's rough. If you overthrow that regime, then you have a population that's 60 years behind the times versus the rest of the world in terms of technology.
Buy him a laptop. And let's go.
Oh, is that all? Hey, buy him a laptop. a laptop in every North Korean's home.
Yeah.
They'll be up to speed.
And then they'll start watching videos and YouTube and rock and roll videos, and in 10 years they'll be like everybody else.
Give them MTV. They'll want like it's 1984.
They'll want a Lady Gaga t-shirt. like everybody else.
Yeah, all right. Well, I guess we got to go out on that note, Frank.
Well, that's what happened in East Germany. They started to watch West German television. All of a sudden, they didn't believe anything anymore.
You think North Korea is comparable to East Germany? You think that's a comparable situation?
No, not
really?
Now, but in 20 years from now.
North Korea is cut off to the outside world.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You give them the internet.
You ever see the map of night of lights in North Korea? There's no electricity in most of the country.
Give every kid a laptop and hook them up. And in 10 years... they'll be just like everybody else.
I would start with feeding them first, but yes.
And then they'll go, where's my video game? They'll be whining like everybody, every other kid.
Give them a cell phone. Give them an app.
Yeah.
Get them on Tinder.
What's that video game with the dragons and all? And all of a sudden, they'll be like every other kid.
Wait a minute. What game with dragons?
Whatever video game they're killing dragons or...
Dragons.
Now, what are those ones? What's the ones with the elves and the...
Lord of the Rings? What are you talking about?
No, the other one. It was a game. Elf Quest or whatever.
Elf Quest? That was a comic book, Frank.
But there was... What was
the... They always have games like that.
Yeah. You just turn them onto that stuff, and in 10 years, they'll be just like every other whining little kid... standing in line for the next video game.
No, I'm trying to think what game. Dragon Age? What are you thinking of?
I don't know. I'm just off.
You're thinking back to your G4 stuff from 10 years ago?
Yeah, just line them out with all that crap and they'll they'll be just like everybody else.
Next
they
generation.
Wouldn't want to go to work. They just want to stay home.
They'll become our millennials. They just play video games all day. No one works anymore.
Yeah.
They just go get their smoothies.
A couple of pizza joints in there.
A couple of pizza. Well, franchise, Frank. Well, Frank's Pizza in North Korea.
Yeah, a couple of pizza joints.
This is an economic opportunity we're looking at. What about some ribs joints and...
It won't take that long to seduce him into the dark side at all.
Well, you figure the Chinese will get in there and open up stuff and we'll get them going.
Yeah. The Chinese, though, will want too much...
Well, of course.
Control over it.
That's their proxy.
Idea is to get them thinking for themselves. And the internet can do that for them.
Well, Frank's admitted the internet could be useful.
I've always said that. You twist what I say all the time. What I say, there has to be a balance. You got to get up sometimes and go outside and have a life experience.
All right, Frank. We're going to sign off
here. That's it.
If you enjoyed the Not So Common podcast, again, thanks to Frank for doing this. He doesn't have to, but I bought him tacos, so it makes it easier.
Yeah, I was bribed.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe on your platform of choice, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can rate the podcast, give it a like, click, you can leave a comment, that's always useful. Let people know on social media how much you kind of enjoyed this. This was kind of educational. I was talking about the Confederate statues and how to solve North Korea and colonialism.
Right, we got that.
And Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor. It's insane.
Yeah.
If you want to directly support me, I have a Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/PatContry. Check me out there. Thanks. And Frank, say goodbye. We'll see you next time.
Goodbye. We'll see you next time.
That's exactly what you said. And that's what I said.
That's what you said.
All right. Let's get some ice cream.
All right.
I'll have a beer first, though.